Yeah, so take a listen to this. So while that might sound like a screeching bush chook or a screeching cat, which my phone auto-identified when I was recording it, it is in fact my daughter, Augie. She's almost a year old and really loves to talk. You're probably thinking, yeah, great, Jess, who cares? But the reason to care is that you and I and everyone else in the world started babbling just like this. It's the skeleton to grasping language. But how and why? Is there more to the babble than just ga-ga-ga and la-la-la? Well, Professor Dennis Burnham is from the University of Western Sydney's Baby Lab and has a pretty great job listening to babies talk all day. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Now, baby talk. Babies start hearing their mother's voices in the womb. So what do they pay attention to once they're born?
Well, they hear their mother's voice and any other voices that are around during the, in the womb. They hear their mother's voice mainly because they hear it both through the wall of the womb but also by bone conduction. So there's conduction of the sound, the vibrations of the sound through the bones to the baby, and then other sounds that are outside the womb, including the mother's voice going through the air, and father's voices and other voices they hear. But what they hear is muffled sort of sound, as if I was talking like this. So because the amniotic fluid muffles the sound, and so does the bone conduction. So when babies are born, they latch on to the rhythm that they're familiar with. And there'll be the rhythm of the mother's voice, so they'll prefer the mother's voice, and it's based on the mother's rhythm, not the actual sounds, but the rhythm of the voice. And they'll also prefer the rhythm of their native language, the language that they've been hearing in the womb, or languages, plural.
Yeah, okay. So then when babies are born and they do prefer the mother's voice because that's what they've been hearing in the womb, if they're born into a bilingual household, that means that they're paying attention to more than one sound. Is that right?
Yes, yes. The more dominant one would be the mother. They'd hear more of that because the mother, whenever the mother talks, they'll get that through bone conduction. They'll hear other voices, but only if the voices are close to the baby or close to the womb, you know. So if fathers are listening to the baby and talking to the baby, then they'll prefer, you know, they'll hear their mother, father's voice as well. Mm-hmm. But it'll be mostly the mother's voice. But in a bilingual household, let's say the mother's speaking English and the father's speaking Chinese, let's say, there'll probably be, I don't think there's really been studies done on this specifically, but the preference for the mother's voice would dominate over the other voices.
Mm. So then why is it,
they would be sensitised to that other rhythm of Chinese as well, perhaps, yeah.
So why is it when I'm talking to my baby, because I've noticed this over the last few months, my voice goes higher, I exaggerate my vowels, and I really become a lot more sing-songy, like I'm, you know, just narrating my life or our life to my baby, but in a, you know, like I'm just basically one big long Wiggles show. Why do we do that?
Right. Well, at first, babies prefer this low-frequency sound, like that they've heard the rhythm, etc. But then very soon after birth, they start to prefer sounds that are interesting. So we tend to do this up-and-down talk and relating whole lots of things. It doesn't really matter what you're saying. It's the way you say it. We do this because when babies hear those sorts of sounds, the up-and-down sounds, hello there, yes, how are you? They prefer that much more than saying, g'day, baby, how's it going? Right. So they actually prefer that more. It's more interesting. And so we tend to talk like that. So the baby, in a way, is selecting what they want to hear. And then, if we pay attention to the baby, then we go along with it.
Yeah, right. So that's something, though, that we're doing without really thinking about.
Yes. I mean, it seems to be quite unconscious. You know, we've had mothers and fathers coming into the baby lab saying, oh, no, 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 we don't talk to our baby like that, or they'll end up not talking properly if I talk to them like that. Then you start recording them. I say, oh, my darling little pumpkin, how are you? This sort of thing, right? So people don't realise that they're doing it, and sometimes they mistakenly think it's not good for the baby, but it is, in fact, very good for the baby.
Okay, so you can talk like a baby and know that it's the right thing to do, not that you're babbling like a six-month-old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, baby talk like tummy and things like that, that's all fine. But the more important aspect of baby talk in terms of talking to the baby, we call it infant-directed speech, so to be non-directive, non-biased about it. The main thing about that is just the way in which you the rhythm and the ups and downs and those sorts of things.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember the movie Baby Talk or something like that, or Look Who's Talking or something with John Travolta, and he's reading out the stock market report, right? So you could read out the stock market report, so long as you do it in an interesting way. The Dow Jones Index today, you know, that then the babies will love it.
Yeah, okay, so you really can turn anything into baby talk, just add some up and down intonations.
Yeah,
and
although the best way we found in the lab to get baby talk is not to ask people to talk like, you know, as if they're talking to a baby.
Mm.
The best way to do it is get them talking to a baby. So babies, the contingencies in the mother-infant or father-infant or even 3- and 4-year-olds, we find that interaction with the baby, the contingencies of the interaction really bring out that infant-directed speech, all those qualities.
Mm. And so then when I talk to my dog, for example, your voice goes higher, you know, you do kind of talk to them like they're a baby, but there is a little bit of a difference, isn't there?
That's right. So you're referring to our paper way back in 2002, where we, I think, that's what it was called, What's New Pussycat, on talking to babies and in babies and pets or something. So what we found is that there's three main things that constitute baby talk. There's the up and down pitch variation, which attracts the baby's attention. There's warmth in the voice, which sort of is related to the up and down, but it's a bit more than that, which is like the amount of affection or emotion in the voice. And the third thing that happens in infant-directed speech is that we exaggerate out the vowel sounds and some of the consonant sounds as well. So we do this by having the mothers play with a sheep and a shoe and a shark, and so that we can get the E, U, R vowels, which are like the corner vowels, the extreme vowels of any language in the world. And when people talk to a baby, they stretch out those vowels. So instead of saying sheep, shoe and shark, they say sheep, shoe, shark. And it's not the extended duration of it. It's actually they're hitting the target a bit more closely. So then the baby learns about the vowels in their own language.
Mm.
And different languages have different vowels. And so they learn about language, and they learn about the specific language or languages, if it's a bilingual family, that they hear around them.
Yeah, interesting, because after I spoke to you a couple of days ago, I did have a moment where I thought, oh, am I actually exaggerating my vowels? And I really started paying attention to how I was talking to my baby. And you really do, without thinking about it, extend all of these words. And then when you have a conversation with an adult, it's just back to normal. It's really incredible.
Yeah, so getting back to the pets, when we looked at the pets and the babies, when you talk to pets, you sort of have all this up and down speech. You also have a lot of affection. So there's no difference between infant-directed speech and pet-directed speech in the amount of affection and in the amount of up and down. But when we talk to pets, we don't exaggerate the vowels. The only time we found that we do exaggerate vowels, and I didn't send you this paper, but this is really fun paper, we found when talking to parrots, people will exaggerate the vowels.
Oh, that is so interesting. Hey, Dennis, I could talk to you for ages, but we do need to wind it up. So thank you so much for giving me an education on baby babble and why it's important. As Professor Dennis Burnham, founder of Baby Lab Universe, from the University of Western Sydney.